Okay, so today we're going to do a very special Rosh Hashanah one. And it's got specifically to do with Rosh Hashanah falling out on the Shabbos. Right? So Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos, there's a very famous concept in Hasidus. But in 1989, the Rebbe spoke a sicha before Rosh Hashanah, and he introduced a whole new level to this idea. It's actually very fascinating. Like, it was always well known, the concept, but the Rebbe took it to a whole new level and asked a very important question, which he had asked before and given a different answer, but this was a whole new, it was a very beautiful idea. So, we have to build it up slowly. It's not easy going. I will tell you from the beginning. I will try to make it as clear as I can, but it's a very deep idea in Chassidus. Okay, so we're going to learn parts of it inside, parts of it not. We'll skip around a little bit inside because otherwise it'll take much too long. So it's in the three columns here. Do column one. So b'negel yomtiv, this is a sikh of the Rebbe. B'negel yomtiv shel Rosh Hashanah shechaldias b'Shabbos, with regard to yomtiv Rosh Hashanah that falls out on the Shabbos. Kakfiyas Rosh Hashanah haba aleinu l'toyva, like the Rosh Hashanah is this year. In other words, in 1989, that's where it was. Shemizbarach ha-Shabbazu. This was the Shabbos before that Rosh Hashanah, giving blessings to that Rosh Hashanah. So it's the same calendar setup as this year. Yodua ha-Kushya, it is well known, the question, Yitochen, eich yitochen, shetitche ha-mitzvahs asey letzkiyah shofar. How is it possible that the mitzvah of shofar, this positive mitzvah, should be such an unbelievable thing, should be pushed away? After all, as he says in the next paragraph, Tkiya Shofar in Ikri B'Rosh Hashanah. Blowing Shofar Rosh Hashanah is really a very main highlight of Rosh Hashanah. As the Gemara says, Mitzvahs Hayoyim B'Shofar, the mitzvah of the day is Shofar. More than davening, right? It's a biblical mitzvah. The Tam HaDover, and the reason is because, Fishu Inyonu Yishol Rosh Hashanah, Hu Achtara Sakadosh Baruch Hu L'melech. The whole concept of the Rosh Hashanah, which we'll come to a bit more later, is crowning Hashem as king. Like the Gemara says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Imru lefonai b'Rosh Hashanah malchias. Hashem tells us, say before me, psukim, verses of sovereignty, on Rosh Hashanah, kedei shetamnichuni aleichem, that you should crown me over you as your king. V'hachtoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemelech, and this crowning Hashem as a king, we know, nasis al yedei ha-shofar, is through the shofar. Right? Because the Gemara says, Hashem says, say before me verses of kingship, say before me verses of remembrance, and I shall remember you well. Say before me, okay? Say before me verses of shofar, because how does this all happen? It happens through shofar, right? Gemara Shekosavar Asag, like Rav Sadia Gaon writes, She'echad HaTaim, one of the reasons for Tkiya Shofar, Hu Lefi She'kein Oisin HaMalachim, that's what the kings do. Betchilas malchusam shetoykim lifneim, that they blow before them b'chatzoytzrus with trumpets of akronis and flutes. I don't know whatever. Idea to make it known. Shul hashmiya. This is the simple pshat, right? To make it, to communicate b'chol mokim to every part of the kingdom. Haschalas malchusam, the beginning of the sovereign rule of the king. And therefore, the question is v'alpize eichi tochen mitzius Rosh Hashanah. So how can we have a Rosh Hashanah? Tamlichuni aleichem, where we have to crown Hashem as king, b'ameh b'shoifer, l'loitki ha-shoifer, without shoifer. Eich v'tiyah, how will there will be achtoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'melech? How is there going to be the crowning of Hashem as king im lo yaldeitki ha-shoifer, without shoifer? Right? Now, of course, the Gemara gives a reason for this, right? The Gemara says that it was a decree from the rabbis that because everyone needs to blow shofar, not everyone knows how to blow shofar, so therefore we are worried that you might come to carry the shofar in the street, to go to an expert to show you how to blow, right?
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, yeah. Yom Tov you can carry, Shabbos you can't carry, and this is an Eruv, but so we worry that someone might transgress this concept of carrying in the street. But he doesn't bring it here in the Sikha, but the way the Mamorim of all the Rebbes build the question, yes, of course, that's what the Gemara says, but how do you take, because some ignoramus, actually the expression that's used is, hedyoitim v'kale hadas, simple people and people who are not so like focused on the Yiddishkeit. I mean, not so like careful. First of all, the person has to be ignorant, which means he doesn't know how to blow the shofar himself, right? So he's got to learn. Second of all, he's not so careful. In other words, it's a kind of a person that he'll forget that it's Shabbos, right? It's a combination of a person that's not so. Most kind of people like that don't blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, right? So the question is always asked, yes, it's good. The rabbis always make fences around the halacha, that's true. But how do you do it in such a case where you have a shofar that's so critical to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to crown Hashem as king? How do you push that away because of some mistake that someone maybe might carry? So he says, "Umavur b'zeh b'drusha chassid." So it's explained in chassid. He's going to give an 8-line answer of what chassid says, even though it's much longer, but this is the crux of it. Shebrosh Hashanah shechal b'Shabbos, that actually al pi kabbalah pichsidus, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, nasis hachtoras hamelech mitzad inyono shol yom haShabbos. The crowning of the king is accomplished through the Shabbos. The Shabbos does it. And was the Shabbos done, does what shofar is supposed to do, at least partially. The lo yitzoyrech bipu'ulo d'tkiya shofar, without the necessity of blowing the shofar itself. Why is that? Because, says the chassidus, I'll try to explain it briefly, because I want to really get into the sicha, because ki'achtoras hamelech, what is the crowning of the king? What are we actually doing? So we know that chassidus tells us, Kabbalah tells us, that before Rosh Hashanah, Hashem loses interest in being a king, right? The relationship between Hashem and the world is one of malchus, that's the way it works. The creation is through the concept of a melech, a king. Why is it through the... We have two relationships with Hashem, meaning the Yidden have two relationships with Hashem, that is Avinu and Malkeinu. Okay, so more the Avinu part is more than Hashem. In other words, the Hashem's relationship with Hashem is he's our father. But the world's relationship with Hashem, which includes our body and the whole creation, is that of a king, because a king... What's a king? A king is a king that is exalted much, much higher than a nation, much cleverer, much, much more sophisticated than a nation.
Makes the rules.
But also, he doesn't mingle with the crowd. In other words, he's detached. His aura, his influence, his impact on the nation is more just his name, right? So it's a metaphor for the tzimtzum. In other words, Hashem had to have a relationship. If he wanted a world, it's got to be a relationship of a melech, because he can't create something that he's with, because it will never exist. So there's got to be the concept of tzimtzum and concealment, and the king being a little bit detached and aloof from the right? So that's a good malchus, yeah. Our job is to crown him as a king and to reveal his kingship in the world and to accept his kingship willingly, right? Because there's two kinds of things we say in Ashrei, Malchus Cha, Malchus Kol Elamim, or Memshal Cha Chol Dorador. There's Malchus and there's Memshalah. There's being a king and there's being a dictator. They're two different things. Dictator is by force. A king is by choice. People crown a king as a king. That's what it used to be in olden times, right? So Hashem, the first 5 days of creation, he was a dictator. He created a world, but it was still the same mechanism, but not wasn't accepted. Then he created the world, he created Adam, and Chava and so on. That was all from him. But then afterwards, every Rosh Hashanah, our job is to make him known as the king in the world and to accept him as our king willingly. And the way that happens is like this. Before every Rosh Hashanah, Hashem withdraws from the world. Right? That's why the great tzaddikim, they knew the first night of Rosh Hashanah is like very scary. Not scary like in a way, it's like shaky, the world is shaky. He's still keeping the world alive, but he's not into it. He's lost interest, right? And it's up to us to reignite that interest. What does that mean? So a person can lose interest on many levels, right? So let's say I am building a bookshelf and I'm really excited about building a bookshelf. So I'm excited at all levels. I really have pleasure of building bookshelves. Not me, but I mean some people. I'm also very passionate about finding out and understanding which wood you need, or which nails you need, or which paint you need. I'm excited about it, emotionally, and also practically, I'm building it, I'm enjoying it, right? Okay. How about, for example, I take a break. So for the next half an hour, I'm not interested in building a bookshelf because I'm tired, right? That doesn't mean I've lost interest on all levels. I've lost interest on the behavioral level. I just don't want to do it now. I'm still very excited about it. I'm not doing it, right? Or I lose interest on an emotional level. I'm not into other things now, but I don't mind it. I'll do it, right? But for whatever reason, I can't do it now, whatever the case is. But if a person loses interest, he doesn't want to do it anymore. In other words, it goes back to the, like he just completely lost interest in the whole thing on all levels. He's not interested anymore. So how do you ignite the interest? You've got to spark something very deeply within the person, right? If someone is working for you and he just lost complete interest, you can't just say, well, you know, just get on with it. No, he's not interested. So you got to go to the very depth of that person. What's the deepest part of the person? What drives everything we do? So Chassidus explains, we have layers of the neshama, we have behavior, we have the conscious layers, we have rotzen, we have will. What's even bigger than will, deeper than will? Tainug, the idea of pleasure. At the end of the day, that's what drives our existence, what I like, what I don't like, right? Okay, now, without going into the Chassidus and Kabbalah explains so many levels of tainug. There's sometimes tainug that's created through a will, there's tainug that drives the will, whatever the case is. But basically, this concept is that it's the will that's driving what's happening. Okay. Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, Hashem departs from the will. What does it mean? He withdraws his interest and he loses interest on all levels. On all levels. He's not interested in the whole thing. Intentionally. Whatever that means by Hashem. And we, through our davening and through the shofar and through everything, we need to reach him very deeply. We need to bring out and ignite the very essential hidden tainug that he really does want to be a king. It's hidden, but there's no will, there's no interest, there's no rationale. But deep down, Hashem wants to be a king. We know that, right? So we have to dig very deep in Hashem's essence. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole discussion about that, but yeah, let's just say it for the time being. That's where it is, yeah, right? How do we do that? We do that through the shofar. The shofar is a very, very deep cry from the very, very depth of our neshama. Also later we'll see that the shofar represents the complete bitul, the surrender to Hashem, right? And when the king sees that we really are coming to him from a very deep place within ourselves, and we're really giving ourselves over in a very, very deep and profound way, it reaches his essence. And his essence, he reignites and he reveals the time of the pleasure that he has in being a king.
Is it a test?
Yes. That's interesting. No, not just a test. It's intentional because it's in order that the new year should start with a completely new dimension. It has to be done. It's a test, and also because Hashem wants us to accept him as a king. We need the whole point of, we know this, which is going to be part of the question later, the whole point of Dira B'tachtoin and making a dwelling place here for Hashem and revealing Hashem's and Hashem living in this world is not just for him to move in, it's for us to invite him in. Therefore, every Rosh Hashanah we have to do it again. Right? Every Rosh Hashanah we have to do it again. Every Rosh Hashanah we have to reignite that will and that tainug and that pleasure. And then Hashem sends to the world a new light, a new aur. He becomes a king in a whole different way. There's a new aur Tanya. It says, Alter Rebbe says this in Tanya. There's a new light that was never there before. That's never there, ever been there. Every Rosh Hashanah will bring down in a new way. Okay. So what's the word? So it says Chassidus, what is Shabbos? We know Shabbos is connected with Tainuk, with pleasure. Shabbos relates to that level of Tainuk. Because that's why we have the idea of Oynuk Shabbos, right? You're supposed to enjoy the Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is. It's about enjoying our Yiddish guys, about enjoying a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. So therefore, Shabbos has this aspect of Tainuk. And since the whole idea of Shofar is to ignite the pleasure, the deep pleasure within Hashem, the Tainuk of being a king, Shabbos is also the concept of Tainuk. Therefore, Shabbos does the trick. We don't need Shofar so much. Okay, and there's different levels of Tainuk. And that's why it says in the Mishnah, because just to get it clear, because we're going to have it later in the Sicha, that in the time they made this decree, just in case people would carry, but the exception was that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, they would blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, why they blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? If Shabbos can do the trick, so why can't they do the trick in the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, because shofar in the Tainuk has many, many levels, and a regular shofar can only bring out a certain level of deep Tainuk, but there's even a higher level that can be brought out only in the Beis HaMikdash. And Shabbos doesn't do that. Shabbos can only go to the level we can normally do. That's why we don't have to blow shofar. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos wouldn't do the trick of bringing the ultimate level of Tainuk into the world and of Hashem's sovereignty. And therefore, we need the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the thing. Now go to Beis. Okay. And the Rebbe launches a question. And this, by the way, was always explained in Chassidus until the Rebbe came along and spoiled the whole thing. No, not spoiled the whole thing. I mean, he rattled the whole thing. And he says that that doesn't answer the question. Why not? Avladayin Storish Bir Behezdit. It's in base, right? Same column, one. But we still need to understand. Mehoinyanim or Ikrim the Rosh Hashanah. One of the main things of Rosh Hashanah, skip the brackets, is not just crowning Hashem as king, but it's the Shahachtara Nasis al Yidei Avoido Shel Yisrael. The point of crowning Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is not that he should be crowned, but that we should crown him through our service. We need to crown him. As it says in the Gemara, Imru Lefonai Malchus. I want you to say the Psukim of kingships, Hashem says. Right? I want you to do it. You have to crown me. That's part of the point. Tamlichuni Aleichem. She Yisrael al Yidei Avoidosam. That the Yidden, through their Avoida, through their service, through their hard work, through their efforts, through their active doing something about it, Poyalim Hachtaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should accomplish the crowning of Hashem. Yeah? Okay, we're going to skip a little bit. Go to the top of column two, third line. Therefore, we have to understand. How can it be Rosh Hashanah Shabbos and we don't blow the shofar? Where's the pleasure, the tainug that Shabbos accomplishes? Shofar normally brings out Hashem's pleasure in being the king. Shabbos does it on its own, because that's what Shabbos is. Mitzad inyoni shel yom haShabbos, but we're still missing a key component. We're missing an absolute critical component, that this should be done through our service. And it's not, it's done through the Shabbos. Well, what does that help us? Yes, understand. The tainug will happen, the pleasure will happen, Hashem's pleasure will be created again and reignited, and Hashem will decide he wants to be our king again and he'll accept us and he will be the king again for another year. But we didn't do it, the Shabbos did it. Yeah? Everyone's clear in the question? Is Ali with us? So that's the question. So Chassidus always explained that on Shabbos you don't need the shofar so much, because Shabbos will accomplish whatever shofar does. Says the Rebbe, that's all very nice, but the whole point is that we should do it. Our avoida, we should do it. So how do we answer the question? Second question we have to understand. No, sorry. The other thing we have to understand is this, and we're going to get to the end of the sikha, is that although it's an interesting thing, that although we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, but you know, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has three sets of psukim, right? Three sets of verses. You know, we have the three special brachas of Rosh Hashanah, right? Malchus, kingdom. You're familiar how the three brachas work? Let me just review it quickly. So in Rosh Musaf, we have this very unique Amidah with these three special brachas, which normally we don't have on a Musaf on a Shabbos. Normally it's just one bracha talking about the Yontif. Here we have three special brachas, and that's one uniqueness. And the second uniqueness is that these three brachas are very different all other brachas that we ever make. In that, normally we separate tefillah and Torah. That's two different things. I mean, we quote psukim and davening, but that's not the focus. Here the focus is in each one of these things, we preface, we use the theme, and we say 10 psukim. So in the bracha of kingdom, of kingship, we say 10 psukim to prove that Hashem has to be the king. We say 10 psukim that Hashem remembers us. And then we say 10 psukim about the shofar. And then we make a bracha out of it. We say, yeah, Hashem should please be our king. Hashem should please remember us. And Hashem should please blow the shofar of Mashiach and accept our shofar. Okay. When Shabbos comes along, but on a simple level, those psukim are just to prove what is really happening. But Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. So what are we saying? Why are we saying 10 psukim of shofar? We don't blow the shofar, we still say the 10 psukim of shofar, right? Proving that Hashem has to listen to that shofar blowing, but we're not blowing the shofar. So why do we say that? Okay, that's the second question. All right. the third, second paragraph on column two. Shagam ze shein toikin b'shoifer hu cheluk miklolus avoided itki shoifer. Not blowing the shoifer on Rosh Hashanah, this is the crux of the answer, but the Rebbe is going to develop it, is part of the avoda. It's actually a ritual not to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Or more than a ritual, it's part of, we are actually doing something. We are serving Hashem not through blowing the shofar, we're serving Hashem through not blowing the shofar. And we'll say that we'll see that not blowing the shofar is not just a passive thing, don't blow the shofar, so you miss out on what the shofar represents in terms of your input and your contribution and your experience, your avoda. Now, not blowing the shofar, the Rebbe says, is an avoda. It's part of what we're doing. We're not blowing the shofar. That's what we do. We're not blowing the shofar. You see what that means? What does it mean not to blow the shofar? And what we're going to come out in the Sikha is, and in fact, not only that, he's going to explain that it's higher than Shofar. It's better than Shofar in the weekdays. But it's obviously not as good as the Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to learn there's three types of serving God. There's the weekday Shofar, regular weekday Shofar. There's the not blowing Shofar. And then there's the yes blowing Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. We clear? Have you learned this before? No. Okay.
We did learn with you before about how
Rosh Hashanah
Shabbos, but it wasn't this one.
No, it wasn't the Sikha. That was the general, yeah. Okay. Okay. So he says like this. Go to Gimel. It's just in the middle of the second column. So we have to understand what is actually Shofar. Al pi Chassidus, what's Shofar? What are we doing when we do Shofar? It's not just a cry, it's more than that. The avoda. When I say the word avoda, everyone knows what I'm talking about? Avoda means what we're doing, the effort that we put in. Right? The avoda of shofar, tamlichuni aleichem of a shofar, through which we crown the king, who inyan abittel. It's the concept of bittel, surrender, complete surrender. That's what blowing shofar is, right? Ki yodu as it's known, Chassidus explained this a lot. Sheachtara samelech, how do you crown a king who doesn't want to be a king? How do you crown a king that's clearly king material but doesn't want to be the king? Right? He has it in him within to be the king, but very, very deep down, but he doesn't want to do it. It's done through al deabitl shalam. The nation has to surrender. The nation has to really give themselves over to the king and say, we're giving ourselves over to you. Whatever, we are yours. Complete surrender. And Chassidus explains that motivates the king to want to be a king because then it'll work. Right? And it was very simple. Why should a king decide to become a king over a nation? I'm not going to listen to him. Right? That's no point. He might be king material, but if they're not going to commit, they're not going to surrender, why should he be the king? Okay? So that's what it is. Vashem also, okay. Al yidei shemizbatlim lefonov, in order that they completely surrender to him with bittul b'mesiras ratzonim, giving over their will, the nafshim and their soul to him. Then what happens is, misoireir hamelech lachbeis b'melucha. The king is awakened to have this desire to be a king. And that's what shofar is. I mean, we surrender to Hashem every day. This is the whole point. That's the idea of Kabbalah's oil. But it's not at the depth of shofar. Shofar always says, Chassidus is just we are yours. We are totally yours. We have no independence, we're just yours, right? It's hard for us to understand the analogy, you know, that they tell a story of a big chassid that when they in Russia in the revolution, when they overthrew the Tsar, who wasn't a particularly very good person, right? When they overtook the Tsar, there was I've forgotten which chassid it was, it was a very good old chassid, and he started to cry. He said, what are you crying? Well, first of all, you know, maybe it'll be better. They didn't know in those days that communism would be worse. They thought it'd be better, right? And also, you don't know what the next thing is going to be and why. He wasn't so good, so why are you crying? He says, no, he's crying for something else completely. He said, I'm crying because there's a mushal, an analogy that's always brought in Chassidus from a king and a nation. Even though the kings nowadays are bad, I mean, the Tsar wasn't a very good person, but the way you operate, I mean, the Tsar, like, you know, Nicholas the Tsar, famous thing, right? They were like, you have to be totally theirs. Like, you They owned everyone, which in this world is not a good thing, but with Hashem, it's a fantastic thing, right? So he says, Chassidus always give the mashal of a king. And he says, now there's no more mashal. The mashal died. The mashal is not good anymore. So I'm crying. That mashal in Chassidus is like not relevant. So now we have to kind of imagine what it is, right? Yeah. Okay. So Sadia Bittel. So what happens every Rosh Hashanah? When we blow shofar and we understand what shofar is that we bring out the most deepest bittel that we can ever have from the essence of our neshama. And we say to Hashem, I'm completely yours. I have nothing about me. I'm just bowing down to you. I'm completely yours. That ignites the rotzen of Hashem, the will of Hashem, the tainug of Hashem to be our king. Okay. The cheinu avoided the Shabbos. We also know Shabbos is also kshurim in a bittel. Shabbos is also bittel. Why is it bittel? Like it says in Chassidus, What is Shabbos? What's the difference between Shabbos and during the week, right? On a very basic level, there's a certain aspect of bittul on Shabbos. What is that? Every Shabbos. Shabbos, during the week, we work, we accomplish, we do, right? What are we doing? Like Hashem runs the world. What are you doing? Are you trying to be a big shot in front of Hashem? So the truth is, the vart is, that during the week, Hashem's presence is hidden. And there's a world, and the world exists, and the world seems important. And it seems important that we should do the things that we do during the work. We should accomplish, we should make meetings, we should make money, I don't know, whatever. Whatever we do during the work, right? What is Shabbos? Shabbos, Hashem's presence is much more felt. I mean, at least we know about it. We don't always feel it, but we know about it, right? So we're standing in front of the king. So what does a person who's standing in front of the king? He doesn't do his own thing. He bows down to the king, right? You know, in the Beis HaMikdash especially, like the Beis HaMikdash, which is also a place where the presence of Hashem is more felt, they used to bow down. In fact, we know this when we say in Musaf, we say that we used to have a Beis HaMikdash. Every yontif we say this in Musaf. And we say, nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not able to come to you and to keep and to bow down to you. How would they bow down? In the Beis HaMikdash, they would bow down flat. Right? What's the idea of bow down flat? Because when a person stands up, so there's parts of me that are more important, parts of me that are less important. So my head is more important than my heart's more important than my foot, right? And so on. There's different levels of the body, right? That's all when we exist, when we think we're something on our own. In the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a total feeling of bittul to Hashem, so they bowed down flat. In other words, my head's not a head, my heart's not a heart, my foot's not a foot, they're all equal before Hashem, it's all the same. Right? It's all the same. So Shabbos, we stop accomplishing, because Shabbos is a bit of a revelation of Hashem. So therefore, we don't work. I'm not going to do be in front of Hashem, so we stop. We don't do bittul, right? Then he says like this, what happens is, that bittul of Shabbos, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, where Rosh Hashanah requires a deeper bittul, so when we know that when a Shabbos and a Yontif come together, they kind of each support each other. They each give to each other. So the Rosh Hashanah adds to the Shabbos, and the Shabbos adds to the Rosh Hashanah, right? So therefore, Shabbos is also a concept of bittul, and therefore Rosh Hashanah comes, we have to experience the bittul. That's the avoda. We have to experience the bittul, right? We have to experience the bittul before Hashem. The Shabbos gives us the ability to experience the bittul. Yeah. Okay, good. So far. Question is, so then, how's that better than Shabbos? Or what does that mean? Normally we need a shofar to do that. Why does Shabbos? Okay, Shabbos helps the bittul. Says the Rabbanah. The Shabbos bittul is deeper than the shofar bittul. Now you have to concentrate, okay? The surrender of Shabbos is like this. Okay, so before you think that this is all like we don't exist, of course, okay. So we've done this before in Tanya. Chassidus teaches the concept of Achdus Hashem. Achdus Hashem means Hashem is the only true reality, right? So for all intents and purposes, we don't really exist. Now, of course we exist, but we don't have any independent existence, okay? But I'm just going to use the term we don't exist, right? We're just part of Hashem, However, that can be experienced on many levels. That bittul, right? That surrender, that feeling of total bittul, which Chassidus talks about and expects us to at least think about, at least live our life a little bit like that, right? There's different levels of that bittul. So, okay. So now we're going to go back to the moshel of the king. The guy stands in front of a king, and he wants to demonstrate his bittul. So what does he do? He bows down, right? Bowing down is an action of bittul. So I bow down. I am giving myself up, which means there's still a feeling of I. Yes, it's an I that's becoming total bittul, right? It's an I that is becoming bittul, yeah? But there's an I. I am becoming bittul. So in other words, there's still two things, right? I don't totally not exist, because if I totally didn't exist, I wouldn't need to demonstrate bittul, right? There's a Gemara that says that if someone stands in front of a king, right, and he winks to someone else, he does like even a motion, right? That's like a capital punishment because of me. You're standing in front of the king, right? Okay. But you bow down, so you demonstrate your bittul. But the very fact that you have to demonstrate your bittul means that you're not 100% bittul. Because there's still an I. I am becoming bittul. Which means I am bittul, but I'm an existence that's becoming bittul. I'm an entity that's being bittul. Yeah? Okay. Shabbos is a deeper bittul. I'm so nothing, I'm not even bowing down. I don't exist, finished. It's a deeper bittul. And that's the avoda, right? That's the avoda of, in other words, there isn't an existence there to start with. Is that? Yeah. When if someone's in front of a king, think of the king, right? Think of a king and the person is totally surrendering to the king. Why? Because he feels that in front of the king, he's nothing, right? The one person bows down to the king to demonstrate his bittul, to demonstrate his surrender, right? That means that he exists. He just needs to become bittul. So he is surrendering, a total surrender. He's not busy with himself. But it's an action he has to do because he's not totally nothing, because he has to do something to become nothing. Is that?
Yeah. The Shabbos
part is that he's so bottled to the king that he doesn't even have to demonstrate it because he's nothing to begin with. No, we have to experience that. We have to become so bottled that we don't even have to. Shofar is like the bowing down. Shofar is like the demonstration of bittul. We cry out to Hashem, I'm yours. But there's an I'm yours, right? Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, we crown the king through bittul, yeah? Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, obviously there's a little bit in theory. I mean, the Rebbe at the end of the Sicha says, like, what's the relevance to us? Like, I mean, we're not holding even before Shofar. But nevertheless, we go through the motions, or we think about it at least. Because as we always said, Chassidus is about training the mind to have the right perspective. So Shabbos, at least we develop this perspective, or we're supposed to engage in the avoda that we so bottle we don't have to bow down. And I was bowing down on Shabbos is the level of bittul we're talking about on Shabbos. Bowing down is like the opposite of bittul. Like, why are you bowing down? Who are you anyways? You don't exist. What you? There's nothing there to bow down. Sorry? Oh, we'll see why. At the end of the Sikh, you'll see why we say the verses. We'll see. Because there's a third level. We'll see in a second. Okay. And we'll see why it's got to do with the verses. Okay, what's up? Easy. Right? You follow?
Yeah.
Let's just do a little bit inside. So have a look at it. So it's like this. It's the third paragraph in the middle. He says, "Bebitul yesh beizoifanen." In bittul, there are two ways of bittul. Oifen or Aleph, the first way is she'odah mevatil es atzmo. The person is mevatil himself. He surrenders himself. Umoyser nafshen, he gives over his soul and his will. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shekol mitzuse in the Eved Melech, until his whole being is a slave of the king. Kamoyah Eved, like the slaves, are called Mitzusa, Mitzius Adlan. His whole entity, his whole identity becomes that of the king. But Af became Kivin Shieshna Avoido Shobitl, since there's a service of Bitl, you have to do Bitl. Shenasal the Ever, Nirgash Mitzius Shala Ever, the Ever, the slave, still feels himself. He is becoming bottle, there's a he. Oifen Abbeis, the second way is no. That, no, he's standing in front of the king in a way where he doesn't feel himself at all. There's no one there. You can't even say that he is bottle. What do you mean he is bottle? There isn't anything besides the king. So there's no one there to bow down. He's not there. He doesn't have to be mevatel himself, because that means himself still exists. Okay, now, the Rebbe explains, I'll do this outside, the Rebbe explains in the Sikha, that this the types of bitl also has to do, it's also connected with the level of revelation of godliness. As we know, Hashem manifests himself in many ways. Okay. So in Chassidus, very often it talks about this thing called memalei kol almin and soivev kol almin. We learned it in Tanya. Memalei kol almin means Hashem, after He diluted his light a lot, tzimtzum, in a very profound way. He shines a light that creates a world, that gives life to a physical world, right? And because that level of revelation of Hashem called Memalei Kol Almin, it's the Elohim in a way, not the Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? It's the more finite manifestation of Hashem's godliness. At that level, there's a world, like the world has some identity, has some independence to it. Although, you know, Hashem created a world, right? So, and that's why the Memalei Kol Almin also says that Hashem gives each part of the world the dose of energy that it needs, right? Each world, like Atzilus, gets more than a Bria gets more than a Yetzirah. Within the person, like our brain gets more highest than our heart and our foot, because everything is tailor-made according to the level of the person, right? And there's a hierarchy. Some things are more godly, some things are less godly. Some people get a bigger infusion of godliness, some a less infusion of godliness. Because it's all the manifestation of Hashem called the Memalei Kol Almin, where at that level, Hashem makes room for an existence. Now, even when we relate to a Memalei Kol Almin, it's still Hashem, right? But when we relate to that level of godly manifestation, so we feel ourselves like we exist. Now, we know that the purpose is to make ourselves bottle, right? So yeah, Hashem created us with the illusion that we actually exist. He created us from a Memalei Kol Almin in a way where, as far as that level of manifestation of Hashem is concerned, it gives some room for an existent and independent existent. Our job is to make sure to understand, no, that independent existence cannot exist without Hashem. It's all dependent on Hashem. We don't have an independent existence, even from Malak al-Almin, and therefore we have to make ourselves bottle, right? Right? You see? That's like the shofar in the weekday. I exist, but I'm revealing that I don't exist. I'm giving myself over to the king so that my identity should become the king's. Right? But I kind of existed before. Okay. Then there's something called soivev kol almin. Soivev kol almin means the way Hashem transcends the world. It's a light which is makif, which encompasses the world. It's an infinite light of Hashem, right? From the perspective of that light of Hashem, that level of godliness, there's no world altogether, no independent existence. Because that infinite light of Hashem doesn't give room for a finite, independent existence. So from that level of godliness, right, the world doesn't exist to begin with. So there's nothing to make bottle. And that's what we're able to tap into when Shabbos falls out, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That's the level of soivev kol almin, right? Where we tap into, we're not making ourselves bottle to the king because it's a king which I'm relating to that kind of gives room for me to feel that I exist, and therefore I have to bow down, blow shofar, to show that I don't that I'm surrendering, right? No, from this level, if we tap into this level through our avoda, which is becoming so bottle because of the soivev of kol almin, we don't have to bow down, we don't have to blow shofar because I don't exist to begin with. So therefore, that's what it is. Okay? Okay. You ready for the next part? Now we're going to go real deep. This is where the Rebbe takes us to a whole new level. If that's true, then why do you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash? It's like a downgrade. If the action of blowing shofar means that you exist, you just because you have to make yourself bittul, Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah means it's a high level of bittul, you don't even exist, so therefore you're not even blowing shofar. And all of a sudden in the Beis HaMikdash, you are blowing shofar? Well, what's that all about? Right? So I said to you before that we talk about the two levels of Mamalikal Almin and Sovakal Almin, the way Hashem relates to the world, the way Hashem transcends the world, right? But there's a third level. And that's the essence of Hashem. So let me this is the hard one to bring out. Okay, so let me try to bring this out clearly. One aspect of it is to understand the following. In the world, right, there's gashmias and there's ruchnias. There's physical and there's, right? Now, if I take the ability to touch something, to hold something, to touch something, right? So I say, you know, you can touch the table. You can touch the chair. You know, you can't touch fragrance. Smell, you can't touch smell. Now, smell is also part of the physical world, but it's a much more refined part of the physical world, right? So is that a fair statement? Is that a normal statement to make? You can touch a table, you can touch a chair, but you can't touch fragrance.
Yeah.
In other words, fragrance still is in the world of physical, but it's completely different. So I'm negating touch. But it makes sense I'm negating touch, right? How about if I say, you know what? In the world of intellect, you know that... that idea that you shared with me is so brilliant that you can't touch it. Does that make sense? Alter Rebbe brings this moshel and he says, "Kolat shamei yitzachal." Anyone who hears you giving that moshel, gonna start laughing. what do you mean you can't touch it? Where does touch come into an idea, anyway? In other words, like this: when you say this is not this, that means on some level, in a negative way, this has a connection to this. If I negate something, it's got some connection. In other words, if I have to say, when I say on the lower level of godliness, that there's a room for the world exists on some level, and I have to make it bottle, okay, because that level of godliness gives room for that existence, a positive room. Right? But when I say that on the higher level of Hashem, the transcendent level, Sovav Kol Almin, the world doesn't exist, I'm still giving the world a relationship with Hashem. I'm still giving it some importance. It's a negative importance. The fact that I could say it doesn't exist means that it has some form of existence, it's a negative relationship. It's like when you say that you can't touch a smell. That makes sense. It means because smell and a table are still in the same realm of each other. Of course you can't touch a smell, but it makes sense to say you can't touch a smell. Why? Because smell and the table have some sort of relationship, but smell is so much more refined than a table, and so much less physical and tangible than a table, you say you can't touch it. But the very fact you have to say you can't touch it means there's a relationship. That touch can be spoken about in the world of smell. Because it's a negative importance. It's a negative significance, but a significance nonetheless. Right? It's the same thing that we say, Mamalakal Alman is more a limited light of Hashem, Sovakal Alman is infinite, like finite or infinite. Finite or infinite, if you say something is infinite, it's not finite, so finite has a relationship with it. Finite exists on some level, a negative way, it's not finite. But the fact that you say it's not finite still means that it has a... Right. It means it has a certain thing, exactly, which means it exists on some level in a negative way. Yeah. It exists in the world of not. The essence of Hashem, right, You can't say the world exists, and you can't even say the world doesn't exist. Essence of Hashem is the essence of Hashem. Nothing exists in front of the essence of Hashem, and nothing's a contradiction to the essence of Hashem. He's not, he doesn't have to be even not. The essence of Hashem is everything and nothing. Meaning, the world is nothing and Hashem is everything. In other words, everything, Hashem is a different. If you say something doesn't exist in the face of the essence of Hashem, it's like saying you can't touch an intellectual thing. So what does that mean to Bittul? In the Beis HaMikdash, they blew shofar. Why? In the Torah, it says you blow shofar. Now, when we blow shofar in a regular Rosh Hashanah, when we do a mitzvah at the level of Bittul, we are normally, the mitzvah, we exist. The mitzvah is an expression of our Bittul, right? So that's the first level. We exist, but we're being Bittul. Shabbos, we upgrade. Shabbos, we say, no, we don't even have to have an expression of Bittul, because that don't exist to begin with. Because if we blow shofar on the Shabbos, it would take away from the Bittul. In other words, there's a Bittul, now you're bringing in yourself. Why are you bringing yourself? You're at a high level of Bittul. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was the revelation of the essence of Hashem. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Bittul was so great that you can even do a mitzvah because it's not about you altogether. There's not, and there's not is. There's nothing. It's just Hashem. And therefore, the mitzvah that was down the Beis HaMikdash wasn't an expression of Bittul. It was just an expression of the will of Hashem. Hashem says, "Notorious, blow shofar. I blow shofar." I'll give you a nice moshul that the mashpim, the people who teach the sicha, this is the moshul I gave Rabbi Yoel Kahn. Used to give this moshul. My father-in-law used to give this moshul. Oh, what's the moshul like this? Listen, Gabe, maybe it will become clearer. A king has a crown, correct? But he doesn't wear the crown the whole time. So he has to hang it up somewhere. Takes off his crown. This is the mashal. And he hangs it up on something, a nail, a hook, something, right? The crown, we know, is the symbol of the king. It's the expression of the king himself, right? It's what shows the king is the king, the crown. Now, if you take, would the king ever think of putting his crown on a person? He's looking for where to put his crown. He says, I put his crown on a human being. No, chas v'shalom. That would be terrible. That would be, what's it called? And that would be like treason, I don't know, whatever, right? Yeah. What's that?
Or idolatry.
Yeah. The king would never put his crown. Well, because that means that the person, first of all, might think that he's like a machutin with the king, you know. I carry the tree. Yeah. What happens if a king has a person who's like the second level of Bittul? Person doesn't even bow down to the king. Even in front of the king, he's completely Bittul, right? He knows he's not the king. He knows that everything about him is the king. He doesn't exist. Like the Shabbos Bittul, right? You have a person that's like the Shabbos Bittul. Would the king put his crown on his head? Also not. Because since the person is still a person, he's just completely not the, he's not a person that became Bottle, but he's a person that is Bottle. He still exists in the way of not. He's not the king, right? The king still wouldn't put his crown on him because maybe like, you know, it was, but the king would put his king on a nail. And they call it in Yiddish a shvok. Put his king on the nail. Why with a nail? Because the nail is not. The nail also exists, but he's not the king. He never even began to be the king. He never even doesn't even come into the realm of thinking that maybe he's the king. And it doesn't exist. The king, that's why it doesn't exist. A nail is not the king because he's not the king. It's just it doesn't even start. The discussion doesn't start, right? If there was a person that was at the level of a nail, not that he's not the king and that's why he doesn't bow down. He could bow down, he could not bow down. It doesn't, he never starts. Therefore, anything he does is not actually a contradiction to his bittul because he's just an extension of the king. The second level on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, we don't bow down because bowing down is a little bit of disrespect. It goes against the bittul. Because I have to bow down. No, I'm higher than that, so I don't. But if it means I'm showing that I'm something. But if I'm truly nothing, if I'm like a nail, in other words, I'm truly nothing, because in the essence of Hashem, it's not that I do exist, it's not that I don't exist, it's not even a negative relationship. There isn't anything on any level. I'm just an expression of Hashem, then everything I do is an expression of Hashem. And if Hashem says in His Torah to blow shofar, I blow shofar. I blow shofar. Yeah?
That's no different to any of the other
mitzvot
that we did in the
temple
on Shabbos
and making fires. Yeah, okay, so that could be different why you blame a fire. That's a different explanation. Because making a fire normally is contradiction to Shabbos, so there's not a contradiction to Shabbos. That's a different idea. Okay. I'll give you just a little bit of extra, we'll finish off, and I'll explain to you why we say the psukim. Yes, so in the Beis HaMikdash, the bittul was so great that it became like a nail, so therefore you can blow shofar. It's because it's not an expression of your bittul. In other words, this. Blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is the expression of bittul. No, Shabbos is the greater bittul because you don't want to have an expression of bittul. Yeah, because when you're temple, you're in the presence of the essence of Hashem. And therefore, the bittul is so great, it's not that your bittul cannot express itself in bowing down, and it can't even express itself in not bowing down, because there's no you to begin with. There's nothing to bow down. There's nothing even not to bow down. Understand? In other words, when we say that we are so bottled, we don't bow down, there's still an us that doesn't bow down. In the essence of Hashem, there's not an us to begin with. A little bit, this is the difference between Torah and mitzvahs. So I'll explain to you in a second quickly. We know like this, there's a famous, the Rebbe has sort of once a sikh on this, which is very connected, and he sort of alludes to it over here as well. That when Mashiach comes, there's a contradiction. One place in Chazal tells us that mitzvahs are going to stop when Mashiach comes. We're not going to do mitzvahs. Right? That's what it seems to say. Then there's the Rambam that says to us, halacha shetorish ba'peh, all the halachas of Torah will never cease to exist, which seems to contradict. And that explains a beautiful thing. Any mitzvah at the highest level of bittul, at the end of the day, a mitzvah means, right? A mitzvah means there's a commander and there's a commandee. At the end of the day, a mitzvah expresses the concept, even though a mitzvah connects us with Hashem. And it's a very high thing, of course, every mitzvah connects us to Hashem. At the end of the day, we and Hashem remain two different things. He commanded us, we give ourselves all completely, and we do all the mitzvahs, we have a serious nefesh for a mitzvah, whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, Hashem commanded us to a mitzvah, and we're doing the mitzvah. Mashiach will come, that's going to stop. That's what it means to stop. Well, we do mitzvahs, of course we're going to do mitzvahs. But we're going to do mitzvahs. You see, mitzvahs were given to the world. Mitzvahs are given to people who need to be commanded, which people already exist. The way the mitzvahs exist in Torah is different. Torah is not something communicated to a world that exists. Torah is just an expression of Hashem Himself. Where our bittul to Hashem Himself will be so great when Mashiach comes, of course we're going to put on tefillin. Of course we're going to light a Shabbos candle. Not because we'll be commanded, just because that's us. Because we're an extension of Hashem now, so we're just going to do it. Hashem once says in the Torah, light candles. It's not an expression of connection, yes connection, I'm bowing down, I'm not bowing down. I don't exist altogether, I'm just an extension of Hashem. That's the shofar of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the shofar of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not an expression of bittul, and it's not doing something that I'm saying I'm not going to have an expression of bittul. It's actually not a mitzvah at all. The mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash shofar is like just, it's the Torah shofar. It's the Torah. Hashem says, blow shofar, I'm a shofar. I'm a tefillin. That's who I am. I'm a shofar. I'm a tefillin. I'm a Shabbos candle because I'm part of Hashem. There's no me. All the me didn't even start. That's the level of the Beis HaMikdash. So we say, it says in the Gemara, when our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, where did Hashem go? Where did Hashem take His Shechina, His presence? Right? In the Torah. In the Torah. Right? So now we have three levels. We have the shofar during the week. We have the shofar on Shabbos. But in the Beis HaMikdash, shofar of Shabbos was only the second level. in the Beis HaMikdash, they still had, they were able to go, have the Beis Shofar, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the third level. Where do we get the third level of Bittul today? By saying the Psukim of Shofar. Because the Psukim is not the Mitzvah of Shofar, the Psukim is the Torah of Shofar. Torah means there's no you to become Bittul. It's the level of the Beis HaMikdash. So yes, so we don't blow Shofar Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, because Shofar Rosh Hashanah is the second level of Bittul. I'm not going to do an expression of Bittul, I just don't exist. But I don't exist is also still I don't exist, it's still an I, on a very subtle level, in a negative way. And then we reach the Beis HaMikdash level of Shofar by saying the Psukim of Shofar. But the crux of the whole answer, the whole Sikh is, that of course, when Shabbos comes Rosh Hashanah, Of course, the whole question was, how does it help that Shabbos accomplishes Shofar? Where's the avoid of the human being? So Rebbe says, there's a big avoid. It's a big avoid. The avoid is to reach a very high level of Bittul, right? More than a regular Rosh Hashanah, very big avoid. And then there's an avoid of reaching even a high level, which is the Bittul of Beis HaMikdash, which we have through the saying the Psukim of Shofar. And then saying the Psukim is not a contradiction to Bittul. It's just an expression of Hashem. It's an expression of Torah. Then the Rebbe says, how does that apply to us? Normally the Rebbe doesn't do this. The Rebbe has a rule that when he talks very, very high things, you just have to get some of it. First you understand it, you build a perspective, and then you aspire a little bit, an expression, a moment, I don't know, something, right? Here the Rebbe translates it. He says, let me try and find it for you, actually. I'll just read it to you in English. Says that at the end of this thing, he says like this. He says, a very important thing to mention, he says, that even when we learn about these things, we reflect on them, and they're very high and lofty things, right? And maybe even higher than lofty, they don't even come into the category of lofty, they're so high, right? They're indescribable. We still have to know that the main thing is to apply them, which is true with all the Torah, but it's certainly here. So what does it mean? He says, every single leader has to try and influence himself, each person according to the way they can do it, that when they serve Hashem, they should try and feel themselves less. That it shouldn't be that it's you learning Torah and you doing the mitzvah, but it has to be in a way where it's more automatic because you're just an extension of Hashem. Now, obviously, what he means by that is we're not reaching those levels in its entirety, but we have to behave and try to do the mitzvahs that's in line with that perspective. And that's the idea that the Rebbe talks about many times, that he says that before Mashiach comes, we have to prepare for Geula. He talks about an El also, we have to live like redemption. What does it mean to live like redemption? That we work on ourselves to a point that the mitzvahs become automatic. In other words, that less and less we have to mix ourselves into the program. In other words, when we struggle to do a mitzvah, it's because we're struggling with us. The me and the mitzvah are not in line, they're not in sync. More and more we have to. This is the lesson of this whole thing. More and more we have to work on ourselves that we shouldn't get into the picture. We should do it because we're so bottled to Hashem that it becomes automatic, and that's what Mashiach is. So Mashiach, of course we're going to do mitzvahs, not because we are going to do the mitzvahs. We're going to do the mitzvahs because it's like we breathe. The person breathes because that's what they do. We'll do a mitzvah because that's who we are. That's it. Because we're so bottled to Hashem.